You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, there's a lot of bad behavior going on in this country with our politicians, wouldn't you agree?
I would absolutely agree to that. And are we going to name names tonight?
Take numbers and name names. The first instance of bad behavior that I want to talk about, which is very swampy behavior, is this American Rescue Act put forth by Joe Biden.
Did you notice that they changed the name from the COVID
stimulus
to now the National Recovery Act? Why do you think that is? I'll tell you why it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Because only 9% of the entire budget deals with anything related to the COVID pandemic. That's why it's the National Recovery Act, because they never did what they said they were going to do in the first place.
Well, it's the National Rescue Act is what I'm reading. But anyway, you know, yes, 9%. And people need to hear that message loud and clear, because the mainstream media is not saying it. 9% goes to anything to do with COVID, and 91% goes to all kinds of other things. And I want to tell you what some of those things are. There's no way that I can tell you everything, because you can go online and read the act that has been put forth by the legislature, and you'll get very angry. But some of the things that are happening is some of the more controversial things, I should say. There is $750 million for the global response to COVID-19, which is fine. So they gave money to the arts the last time we had one of these stimulus plans.
I think they gave money $25 million or more than that to the Smithsonian Institute. And then they gave money to National Public Radio. I think the point that we're going to go to here is that when are they going to be honest with the American people and spend the money that needs to be spent on issues and programs and problems related solely to the COVID pandemic?
Well, and they're not going to be honest. And that's the short answer to that. This boondoggle of $1.9 trillion is absolutely 91% has nothing to do with COVID. And this is just them giving money. So after we give $270 million to the arts and humanities endowments, we give another $200 million for museums and libraries. Hence, you're talking about the Smithsonian Institute and ones like that that have already received money and now get more money. There is another $100 million for Silicon Valley transit expansion. I mean, what does that have to do with COVID?
Okay, so I do my entire career in the San Francisco Bay Area, and specifically in San Jose, California, where Silicon Valley is. And I can tell you that they don't need an underground railway train, metro, whatever the heck you're going to call it. And things are so congested there right now, that would cause nothing but pure upheaval in that area. I mean, if people think the commute is bad now, wait till they start, you know, digging underground and pulling that dirt out of there. And what are they going to do to the businesses? What is the corridor that they are going to use? And this is just pure BS. What this is paying back Facebook and Google and Twitter and, the triumvirate of the evil internet companies for their support in getting them elected. That is all this is about. This is not about the American people.
No, not at all. And the other thing is, people need to recall that that is an earthquake area, and having a system underground, I'm not sure is the wisest thing to do.
Yeah, you got the San Andreas Fault right there within miles of where this corridor is going to be. And by the way, let us not have our listeners forget about the bullet train to nowhere,
right,
which started out being $15 billion and now has gone to something over $150 billion. And it goes from Bakersfield to Chowchilla, which is basically nowhere to nowhere in the state of California. And it, they haven't, and it's so badly mismanaged. It is basically almost an abandoned situation. And that's the state of California. Can you imagine federal monies going into this thing? It will be in the billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Well, they divert it. And, you know, that was such a waste of money in California. But and here's more.
And that's just one program.
That's
right?
Just,
that's
one,
just
program.
One program.
Yeah. So $50 million in family planning funding, because I can't plan my own family. I need somebody to help me. $1.5 million, or actually, yeah, $1.5 million for the Seaway International Bridge connecting New York and Canada.
Now, wait a minute. Are you talking in the millions of dollars, or are you talking in the billions of dollars? Because don't forget, this is a $1.9 trillion project. Okay, so you're saying millions of dollars.
Well, that's what... Yes. And there are so many of these, when you add them up, they equal 91% of the $1.9 trillion. Okay. So then in that bill also is the raising of the minimum wage to $15. That may end up having to come out and be its own standalone bill, but it's in there. The expansion of Medicaid and Obamacare. That is in here.
So they did an end around deal.
Yes.
After Trump got rid of most of the issues with Obamacare, which is an abysmal program that really serves nobody. And they do an end around to bring Obamacare back. Right. And I think if you're a young person over the age of 26 years old, getting forced to pay, what is it, Linda, the penalty, people rather pay the fine than take the insurance. I think the penalty is like $2,600 a year that you would have to pay to exempt yourself from Obamacare. But yet the minimum for medical care before you can use Obamacare, if you're a young person, is $7,000, something like that.
But they got rid of that.
No, but yeah, they're trying to bring it back.
Well,
that's my issue.
They want to punish people for not being on board. And his new HHH secretary, I think it's that secretary. It's one of his secretaries.
HHS.
Yeah. They believe in Medicare for all. And that's what they're going to be pushing is
including
Medicare.
Including illegal aliens. And don't forget,
yes,
even using the Biden-Harris numbers, 11 million illegal aliens on the pathway to citizenship would be eligible for that. We firmly believe that it's over 20 million. And just as you said in the beginning of our conversation, the immigration statistics just for this last month have gone up over 130%.
Yes.
The people crossing our border illegally.
Yes. They want to, in the bill, is expanding the Paycheck Protection Plan. Okay. I have a big bone to pick with this one. They are expanding it by $7.5 billion. Out of all of that money, that is all that's going to small business. Now, that will increase the total program to $813.7 billion. But in their COVID recovery program here, Rescue Plan for America, $7.5 billion out of $1.9 trillion goes to small businesses.
And you know, Biden just did a press conference very recently where he said that he was really going to champion small businesses. How does that reconcile behaviorally with what is really taking place? Because he's going to sign off. Congress is going to pass this ridiculous $1.9 trillion boondoggle full of pork, like you said, 9% of which only goes to COVID pandemic related programs. And the small business people, of which both of us belong to are going to get the shaft once again. While the leader of our country is telling people that he's going to champion our cause, there is no objective evidence of that whatsoever.
No, none. Here's some more that'll make you mad. Funding for the activities of one or more equity commissions. That has nothing to do with COVID and everything to do with making us be their little soldiers in a Nazi-like world. Everything needs to be equity. And I'm sorry, but you need to talk to God about that because he didn't make everything equity in the world. We provide our own. Our government does not provide for us.
What the government should be doing, and Linda, you and I have talked about this time and time again. We do not need equity. The government should not be guaranteeing equity. The government should be guaranteeing equal opportunity.
Yes.
Equal opportunity to employment and, you know, financial status and all of that. Equal opportunity to earn money. Equal opportunity to get an education, to move yourself forward in your life, no matter what your race, color, creed, gender identification is, religion, et cetera, equal opportunity to access.
Absolutely. State and local government support, they will get $350 billion with $195.3 billion going to state governments and the District of Columbia. Assistance to local governments is $130.2 billion, tribal governments, $20 billion, and territorial governments, which would be like Puerto Rico and places like that, would be $4.5 billion.
Can I say something about the tribal $20 billion? People need to understand a couple of things. First of all, if anybody has ever been on a Native American Indian reservation, you'll see such a dichotomy of the environment. First of all, you will find that some tribes that have casinos are making billions of dollars. And they, obviously, the tribe members are all equity partners. They make an unsightly amount of money every single month. But here's what the tribes don't do, because the other side of this coin is there are many tribes out there in the United States that do not have casinos and are in some of the, you will see some of the worst poverty and environmental blights that you have ever seen anywhere in the United States. I mean, we're talking worse than Appalachia, and you and I have been on, you know, several reservations, Linda, and we've seen this personally. I mean, I've also been a reserve tribal officer as a consultant out in the West, and I have seen good tribes and bad tribes. But the rich tribes, Linda, they never share with the poor tribes. So the indigenous Native American tribes are not a unified people, just like 200 years ago, they were not a unified people and would fight against each other and take lands and kill each other and take their own slaves and everything like that. And we are going to give them $20 billion. That needs to be looked at very seriously.
And another $10 million for preserving Native American language. What does that have to do with COVID? There's another part of this that gives money to farmers, but it gives money unequally, speaking of equity, to farmers of color, which make up 2% of our farmers. So their thought is that farmers of color don't have the same opportunities as white farmers do. So they're going to give them a bundle of money and not so much the other farmers, which to me is inequity in and of itself. Nobody can make up for any past racial inequities in our country. But honestly, in my opinion, until Barack Obama was president, we had less racial inequities than we have today, because they have fomented this thought that there is racial inequity. There is, please take a look at this legislation, which you can see online, and it is called the American Rescue Act. You can 2021, and you can read the legislation and you can see where all this money goes. And if this does not insult people and make them angry, I don't know what would.
Well, you know, we would really encourage our friends, our followers, our listeners to do exactly that. It's so easily Googled. Just do your own research. Don't pay any attention to what the mainstream media is feeding you out there. And we're not trying to feed you anything other than making you aware that you need to be informed and educated, and you can do that yourself. You don't need Dr. Ron and Linda, telling you how to think. But we would suggest strongly to you, as an American citizen, as a taxpayer, that you Google the Recovery Act and see what's in there and see whether that's what you want to be spending your tax money on. And then reach out to your congressperson and reach out to your state senator and tell them, hey, I didn't sign up for this, and make your own suggestions.
Yeah. So if you read the portions that have to do with contact tracing or with vaccine administration, things that really have to do with the pandemic, then you'll see that there is very little in this bill. Again, 91% of what is in this bill has nothing to do with the pandemic.
So Lynn, let me ask you a question, and also to our, you know, our friends and listeners. If all of this is being created because of the COVID pandemic, I mean, that's how all of this has started, because we had a robust, it just explosive economy under the Trump administration. And then we got hit with the COVID pandemic, which has, you know, turned our country into a tailspin, but we are slowly but surely recovering because American Americans are resilient. The major problem be the COVID pandemic and fighting that and getting everybody vaccinated and spending money to deploy all the resources that are possible, humanly possible in the United States, to get everybody vaccinated as soon as possible, to get that herd immunization, so that we don't have to wear masks anymore. We don't have to do these shutdowns. We don't have to close down businesses. We lost 20,000 small businesses last year alone. Don't you think that that's where the money needs to be spent?
Absolutely. And I think that rather than any of these other things that I just talked about, Ron, if they want to spend $1.9 trillion that all of our kids and grandkids are going to have to be paying for into the foreseeable future, they ought to take that money and give it to families. Just give it to families. Take all of that money then and give it to families and let them spend it. You can put a cap on if they have an income over a certain amount, then they don't get any. I'm fine with that. But so many people have been hurt that haven't been able to pay their rent, that have had to move out of their living place and all of these types of things. And I would get our kids back in school tomorrow.
Exactly. How about our first cup of coffee?
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Well, my next example of very bad behavior on the part of politicians would be immigration. So Joe Biden's open borders radicalism invites a human tsunami of illegal immigrants to be crossing our border. In fact, he's only been in office for a month.
4 weeks.
About a month. And border crossings are up 182% from what they were last year at this same time. We went from 86,449 to 244,053 total apprehensions at the border. Not crossings. These are people that got caught.
Yeah, and we get a percentage of that. I don't know exactly what the percentage is of how many we catch, but that's a lot. 182% increase is incredible. And Linda, don't forget that the day that Biden signed these executive orders, completely repealing everything that President Trump and his administration had done, he pissed off Mexican President Obrador. And if people remember, or they perhaps they didn't know, the United States, under the Trump administration, had worked out an agreement with Mexico when we got rid of the Biden and Obama catch and release program. Remember that? Where we would catch them in the United States and release them in the United States. We would give them a hearing date, and then they would vanish into thin air, and 98% of the people that got hearing dates never appeared, and they're out there. So they're outstanding, you know, suspects with warrants, with immigration warrants, because they never showed up. They FTA'd, they failed to appear. So what Obrador, but anyway, going back, so what we did under Trump is that we subsidized the Mexican government, and they would put together shelters for tens of thousands of immigrants that came up through, you know, like Honduras and Guatemala and San Salvador, El Salvador, you know, you name it, coming up through Mexico, waiting to get into the United States, or were caught by the United States and sent back across the border.
Right. This was President Trump's highly effective Remain in Mexico program.
Right. And they would stay there until their trial dates came up. Right.
Right.
And so we were good with the Mexican government. So when Biden got rid of the catch and release program, Obrador said, well, listen, we're not going to house all these people anymore because you're not subsidizing us and you're not a good partner with us. So we're going to release them and you're going to have to take them. So they started out with 25,000, Linda, and the Mexican government pushed those 25,000 immigrants during this period since Biden has been in office, pushed them back across the border, and the United States, so Border Patrol, Immigration, ICE, had to accept custody of those people. And then Immigration started, and the State Department started transferring these immigrants to different cities. And the three cities in Texas got slammed. So Brownsville, Texas, Del Rio, Texas, and El Paso, Texas, have taken the first, and I'm sorry, and San Diego, California have taken the first 25,000.
Well, when Biden is basically inviting people to come over our border and offering them free health care, and by the way, California gives them free health care and gives them schooling and education, which we do in Texas as well, and so do other places, but most places don't give them free health care, but that is what he's promising them. So we have some of our temporary facilities in Texas that have had to be reopened to handle the number of children coming in. These are the same exact facilities that President Trump used. They're being operated in the same exact ways. We do not hear anything on the media about children in cages, yet nothing is different, Ron, than the way President Trump handled it. So all of that hubbub that we heard for the first 2 years of the Trump presidency about children in cages, and which, by the way, Obama is the one who originated that.
It was never Trump.
No.
It was always Obama that built the so-called cages. And by the way, Linda, You know, they talk about, you know, tearing these children away from their families, you know, which is in a lot of cases a very false narrative. What is happening is that parents are giving their kids up to coyotes and other people just to get them across the border. So they've already torn their children away from themselves, so to speak. Those children are coming across the border so that they can be the anchor babies to get the parents across the border later on. But can you name a single jail in the United States where we have children in custody with their parents?
No. So Biden is also asking Congress to provide mass amnesty for trespassers already here. And don't forget, by the time that they get to that, there's going to be hundreds of thousands or millions more that are already here because they're running across the border right now.
Well, they know it's okay too. So now we get the destabilization, continued destabilization of Honduras, of Guatemala, and of Mexico, because now their state security forces have got to accompany these tens of thousands of immigrants escaping from Honduras, moving through Guatemala, and moving through Mexico to get into the United States.
Exactly. So in liberal jurisdictions, as I said, like in California, Medicare is already open to all residents, including those in America illegally. And then you have, you know, public school spending. So just in California, Ron, it amounts to $100 billion a year to cover the things I just mentioned, their medical and their schooling. So, I mean, who's paying for that but the people that are earning money in California as legal citizens?
And by the way, even when they're out of business, Linda, even when these small businesses are augured in and they're not earning any money, the owners of those businesses and the employees that got furloughed off are still paying taxes.
Well, of course,
and their tax money, $100 billion of that in California's loan, is given to subsidize the medical care of illegal aliens. It just doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
And no wonder they're trying to recall Gavin Newsom. Even liberals are trying to recall Gavin Newsom.
And what is the further cost to Americans, as we've talked about many times, when you have so many people pouring over the border that are illegal, unvetted, besides any health ramifications and financial ramifications? Most people that do come over the border come over, I'm sure, with good intentions. But there are a percentage that come over with very bad intentions, that bring drugs, that we have MS-13 gangs throughout our country now. And that is from illegal immigration. They lure people from Central America here, and that these people are coming up through Mexico and entering our country. Who is the recipient of their crimes? We are. Yeah. We are the people that have our children murdered, have our children and family members taking drugs. They are affected by these gangs, which are vicious, vicious gangs that prey on, you know, the kids that live in their area.
And you know, Linda, we see this in Texas. You know, I mean, if you live in Indiana, if you live in Colorado, you know, Nebraska, someplace like that, Delaware, you don't see what we see in the state of Texas, where we see that sex trafficking, we see the child trafficking, the child exploitation. You know, we see that so intently in the state of Texas. So, and where they go up the 35 corridor, they go out and spread out all across the United States. And that is a dangerous and deadly underground.
Well, and here's another situation, Ron. You have people like Sandra Duran, who was in Los Angeles, who was a young mother who was murdered by an illegal immigrant who had been deported 5 times. But in Los Angeles, a sanctuary city, he could not be deported. And he went back and murdered that young woman. Joe Biden has now stopped deportations in our country. And although there is a court order for a short time that puts a stay on that, that is a short time and we don't know what's going to happen, but he has ordered no deportations. So people that are criminals in our country are going to be free to operate.
And people need to know, you know, that there are a lot of people that have had deportation orders that are convicted felons of very violent crimes. So convicted felons that are not even United States citizens under the Biden administration, under this edict, this executive order that he signed on day one, our Border Patrol, our ICE, our Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency, our DHS, Department of Homeland Security, can't do anything with those people. And so now we're stuck with these convicted felon violent criminals in the United States where they should have been deported to their homelands. Well, you know, we were talking about the 25,000 immigrants that President Obrador from Mexico removed from the Mexican shelters and had to be accepted by the United States. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, the cities that they moved them to. Well, the town of Del Rio is not a rich town. It's an impoverished town. Yes. It's a border town. The mayor and the city council of Del Rio, Texas, which are largely Hispanic, and he's got a huge Hispanic population. The mayor himself is Hispanic, was recently begging President Biden to take these people out of his town because he says we are a poor community. And now you are forcing us to share all of our social services, our medical services, all of our resources. Place now we have to shelter these people. Can you imagine with an impoverished town like Del Rio, Texas, having to take on, and nobody went to them, nobody from state went to them, nobody from the new Biden, you know, immigration department, you know, went to the community in Del Rio or the county near say and said, hey, you know, can you take these people? And by the way, here's some money to subsidize you for taking these people. That never occurred. All of a sudden, hundreds of illegal aliens released by Mexico and accepted by the American government were just arbitrarily tossed into Del Rio to survive. That's right. Ridiculous. You want to talk about bad behavior. You look in the dictionary and you got a picture of Joe Biden right there.
Well, the Department of Health and Human Services refused to say how the treatment of migrant children will differ from what the Trump administration did. And even Merrick Garland, he refused to say if he thought it was illegal for immigrants to illegally come over our border.
Well, yeah, and let's just go back, Hoover, who Judge Merrick Garland is. He was the person under the Obama administration that they proffered to be a United States Supreme Court justice. He was not voted, not accepted, okay, by the Senate. And so Biden brought him back right now as his nominee for the Attorney General of the United States, the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States. Remember, we're talking about an appellate court judge, I think from the Second District, which is Washington, D.C., which other than the United States Supreme Court is the second most powerful court in the land. He was asked, as you said, Linda, during his Senate confirmation hearing, so do you believe that a person crossing into United States territory from a foreign country, a foreign national, has that person committed a crime? And his exact comment was, well, you know, I haven't really thought about that.
Well, then you don't deserve to be Attorney General.
Exactly. I am absolutely shocked. And of course, he has thought about that. How could you not, when immigration is one of the most pressing problems in the United States of America, and as demonstrated by Joe Biden, who on the first day in office signs an executive order to reverse everything that President Trump has done. If this learned judge who was nominated to the United States Supreme Court has never thought about whether that's against the law when it is an obvious violation of federal law, like you said, he does not deserve to be considered for Attorney General of the United States.
Well, and you know what's interesting? What goes right along with all of this, because it's such a devious plan by the Democrats, is Nancy Pelosi really illegally gave money to the gerrymandering. So Eric Holder is having the states redraw their voting districts, of course, in the Democrats' favor, which is gerrymandering. And the government is not supposed to be able to give them money to do that, but she did. She moved money to him to help his cause there.
And everybody remembers who Eric Holder is, right? He's the former Attorney General of the United States under Barack Obama and Biden.
Exactly. And President Trump fought a valiant battle to not have illegals counted on the census. And the Democrats have changed that to where they can now be counted. So it behooves them to bring in all of these illegals and get them counted as Democrats.
And what they are doing with all this illegal immigration and this pathway to citizenship and all of this, where they bring in somewhere between 11 to more than 20 million illegal aliens in this country and create citizenship for them, is they will have effectively turned upside down our American Democratic Republic and ended it for all of us.
And I have much more bad behavior to talk about after coffee.
Fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, speak about bad behavior. Let's talk about the Philadelphia district attorney that removed, well, actually what he did is he covered up the names, the plaques in honor of Philadelphia police officers that were killed in the line of duty.
Right. That's District Attorney Larry Krasner, who has covered this up, and apparently he wants to get rid of it, but for the time being, it's covered up with a temporary
cover. It's like a sheeting that has the monograms for the district attorney's office on it. Look, this district attorney has got a real history of being very anti-law enforcement and uber liberal, which is quite ironic because people should know that the district attorney and the sheriffs are the chief law enforcement officers of any county in the United States. This guy has got a longtime history of anti-police sentiment when it comes to the Philadelphia Police Department and their fraternal order of police. And they hate his guts. And his spokeswoman, and I can't remember her name, but when they pushed back against the district attorney's covering up of the memorial plaques for these officers bravely and killed in the line of duty. She said, well, we're in compliance with the law because where this monument is on the wall is a place where we have conferences. And so we have to cover it by law from time to time. And of course, they came back with, well, why don't you tell us what law that is? And she wasn't able to do that. So this is just disgraceful behavior for a person that is in actuality a law enforcement officer.
Well, it is. And let's stay on that subject of bad behavior. Minneapolis now wants to spend $6.4 million to hire more police. Why? Because when they didn't support their police, then 200 of them left their department.
Because they were defunding.
And they were defunding the police. And now the residents are seeing that this was not a good thing and their crime is up and people are being victimized and hurt and terrorized in that city. So now they want to hire more police. I hate to say we told you so, but we told you so.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I just recently did a program on One America News talking about this very thing. And when you don't show your support for the police, when they know you don't have their backs, when you know that they're going to be defunding your position, you don't want to stay there. So people that are getting ready to retire, rather than staying a few extra years like they normally would, they leave. And when they leave, all that experience leaves with them.
Absolutely.
Officers that are younger on the department with less than 10 years on will take what's vested and they'll take their training and experience and go someplace else. And then you get this huge loss of officers all at once, which causes a spike in crime, but then nobody wants to come to work for you. And so what you have to do, Linda, and we've seen this time and time again, is you have to lower your hiring standards. And when you lower your hiring standards, you get a worse quality officer than what was there before, which was experienced officers.
Right. Well, and, you know, speaking to that point, you have a city like Richmond in the San Francisco Bay Area who was defunding officers, you know, making all the changes, the reforms to what who can be arrested and what crimes you have to ignore. Well, what has happened there? Their burglary rate has gone up 342.9% this year alone. We are only in February at the time that you and I are talking.
Hey, can I say something just really quick? Some of you out there may have seen a Gallup poll that was recently published that tells you that crime is down across the United States. Crime is not down across the United States. And I had an opportunity to take a look at that Gallup poll, and it was a horribly constructed poll. So believe me, when you see in the newspapers or you hear Dr. Ron and Linda, because we're always talking about law enforcement issues, talking about these huge spikes in crime, just lay that against what you saw in the mainstream media about this ridiculous Gallup poll that crime is going down across the United States.
Well, in addition, robberies up by 90.9%, assaults up by 50%, motor vehicle thefts up by 58.3%. And arson up by 25%.
And you know, in shootings, we just recently we talked about this in New York City, shootings are up over 200%. And we won't even talk about Chicago's, you know, spike in crime, shootings up 1,500%. You know, come on now. Understand that this stuff that you're hearing is trying to make you feel that you don't need the police when nothing could be further from the truth. Let me just say something really, really quick. As a criminologist, I have to, you know, deal with statistics and crime statistics every single day. And of course, on Talking While Married or on One American News, you hear me talking about these things. I will tell you that as a professional statistician, anything over 15% is significant. We're not talking about 15% here.
No, Linda. No, we're talking about over 300%, at least in burglaries. So why did this happen? The San Francisco mayor, London Breed, had outlined a series of police reforms last June. Among those reforms, police would no longer respond to calls that don't involve a threat to public safety. Instead, they would have trained unarmed professionals to limit unnecessary confrontation between the police department and the community. I'm sorry, this is baloney. And this is what you get. Who are these people? Are they really going out on these calls? Obviously, it's not working. He also announced a $120 million budget cut to police and sheriff departments over the next 2 years and asked police and firefighter unions to delay for another 2 years any raises. So you want to just put your foot on the neck of all of these first responders and look what you get in the communities. How do you think those people, those thousands of people who were burglarized or assaulted or had arson committed or had their vehicle stolen, how do you think they feel?
Well, you know, the people that are getting, the grease, you know, what do they say? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. The people that are getting the grease are these restorative justice, social justice warrior activists in the community. It's not the average Joe. It's not the blue collar worker. It's not mom and pop. It's not grandma and grandpa that are saying, we need less police. Okay. It is the activists and the criminals that are crying out using this neo-national socialist and this Marxist rhetoric, which is pro Black Lives Matter, anti-police rhetoric. And unfortunately, we have a Biden and Harris administration that are silent about this.
Well, sure. I could take that job, London Breed's job, and save money because they say that they have a $653 million deficit. Let me just tell you how to solve that. Start putting these criminals in jail and leaving them there and stop letting them out. And then stop cleaning up people's poop on the streets and get the homeless off your streets and stop paying people over $100,000 a year to pick up other people's poop and needles. Come on. I can save you this money tomorrow. Do you not know how to manage your budget that you have to take it from the most important people in your community?
And, you know, and speaking of the most important people in our community, how about the parents and the children? And so in the city and county of San Francisco and their school district, they, instead of dealing with the kids that are out of school and the parents that are forced to spend more money in daycare or forced to leave their jobs and stay home to take care of their kids, what do they spend their time, money, and effort on? Canceling out the presidents that their elementary and high schools are named after. So Jefferson, Washington, Lincoln, for God's sakes. And then they get involved in this Marxist education program, and I would say re-indoctrination program for the children. That's what they care about. They don't care about community safety. They don't care about education and encouraging kids to get back into school to learn, to have meaningful education and learn meaningful job skills and trades so that they can go out and they can be independently wealthy and not have to rob people or join gangs or sell dope or sell their bodies on the street.
Well, and their brilliant plan is to lay off 167 more officers amidst this crime spree. And by the way, their gun violence is up almost four times. So, you know, we need to vote properly to have people manage our cities properly. There is nothing hard about this other than educating yourselves before you vote in some idiot like this.
You know, this is a problem with the parents not engaging with school boards and with the citizens of San Francisco not engaging with their mayor and their city council, Linda. I was born in San Francisco. I was raised in San Francisco. I loved San Francisco, and they have totally destroyed San Francisco.
And speaking of, in an area near San Francisco, is the school board in Oakley, California.
Yeah, it's Oakley. It's actually Oakley. It's over Oakley? Near, it's in the okay. East Bay. For those of you that don't know where it is, it's near Antioch. It's in the East Bay outside of Contra Costa County.
Well, their school board thought that they were not on a live mic, and they were. And the parents were all on a Zoom presentation with the school board because the parents have been pretty vocal and demonstrating about getting their kids back in school. Well, when these people thought that they were not on mic and they were on mic, they were denigrating the parents. And they were actually, one of them said, you know, you think we're going to go back and teach, you don't know what we know, and I'm going to F you up. I mean, this is how you want to talk to the parents.
F you up is how they talk to the parents.
Yes. The parents just want their kids back in school and they're not getting answers. Now, this entire school board has resigned. But this whole thing, you know, in a place like that shows the absolute disrespect and disconnect between those in power, in this case, a school board, and the parents who vastly outnumber them, who pay for that those kids to be going to school in their taxes.
And you know what, Linda, we talked about how in the People's Republic of San Francisco, they didn't engage with their school board. Conversely, in the city of Oakley, the town of Oakley, the parents did engage with the school board and they were very much against it. And they protested all of this and they put up such a stink that it forced every single one of those school board members to resign. And that's what needs to take place across this entire nation. We need to get engaged for our kids and for our own personal safety and security with the mayors and the city councils of all these uber liberal cities that are killing these cities and their economies.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of more bad behavior, we have Senator Ed Mockley, who is a Democrat in Massachusetts. He has proposed that racial justice would be the deciding factor in who gets vaccines first. So not the elderly, not the people that are the most susceptible to dying from COVID.
Not the people with the comorbidities.
But let's make it all about race.
I don't know what to say about stuff like this. And I think other common sense conservatives like us are shaking our heads or in some cases beating our heads against a wall. You touched on it in the beginning of our conversation. Under the Obama administration, this country started going down the tubes. And it was the impetus of the creation of a separation and a distrust of races and cultures in this nation. This is the negative consequences of what's the term, Linda? It's racial race identity politics.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm going for. So not only since the Obama administration started all of this, carrying into the Biden administration, through the Trump administration. So we had race identity politics, then we had cultural identity politics, then we had LGBTQ+PRSTUV identity politics. And instead of bringing Americans together in a United States of America, we have a disunited States of America. We actually have separated our states, we've separated our communities, we've separated our towns. Hell, we've even separated some of our neighborhoods, for God's
sake.
We've
made each other look at each other with fear and with distrust, rather than the direction we were going before Obama, which was a good one. I mean, we people were getting along. Listen, we see people of all colors, of all everything as we travel around the country. We personally interact with everybody. We don't see this divisiveness that we are being told is there. This is a divisiveness that is being manufactured by people, again, for political gain and for the gain of power.
What is going on now? Speaking of bad behavior, what is going on now in the United States of America through this Biden administration is you're starting to hear this rhetoric of white supremacy.
Yes.
All right. So everything is racist and white supremacist. Why do you think that is, Linda?
Well, if they can divide people, Ron, it's much easier to conquer people if they're divided. And that's exactly what they want to do. They want to keep everybody divided. And, you know, somehow it serves their purpose. For me, it breaks my heart to see this at this time of our lives, to see the country going downhill so very fast.
Well, what's going on with this new neo-national socialist and Marxist government under the Biden and Harris administration is they're already vetting the federal police agencies and the military. The military is currently on a 60-day stand down so that they can purge the so-called white supremacists, anti-government agitators. What they really mean is Republicans and conservatives and people that don't agree with what's going on in the Biden administration or were pro Donald J. Trump. That's what's going on. So they're getting rid of the military people that are pro-Trump, that are conservatives, that are Republicans.
And they got them all out of the Biden administration.
They did. Exactly. Yep. And so that's where we're going in the future. And it is, I hate to bring this out, but it's absolutely dismal. And we need to push back against that.
Yep. And to do that, I would suggest listening to the hosts on America Out Loud. Visit there, read the articles, and you can listen to us every night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can listen on iHeartRadio. You can get the Apple app, the Android app. It's available on Alexa. You can listen live, which is right on AmericaOutloud.com. It says listen live 24/7. And you can catch us on podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, iHeart.
And you know, we're making a special offer to our friends and listeners, Linda, because we're trying to engage and increase the listenership to Dr. Ron and Linda and Talking While Married. And to do that, we've created a brand new email address. And Linda, put that out.
Dr. Ron and Linda at TalkingWhileMarried.com. And DrRonAnd. Linda at TalkingWhileMarried.com.
And if you send us an email today at TalkingWhileMarried.com for this time, if you send us an email with your suggestion on what you'd like to hear on this program and what you think about the program, I will give you a free copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, shipping and handling paid, autographed book, and also a personalized book to you. So I'm going to give out a book today. And also in your email to verify you listen to this program, your code word for today is pushback.
And we'll see you on the radio.